This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
I was thinking about the disciples after the resurrection. You know, we all kind of just think, yes, and we rightly so, praise the Lord, the resurrection has happened, and we're all going to be filled with joy, and everything's going to be good. And what we all know, because you've read the scripture, is that, boy, the challenge was just about to start. And I alluded to C.S. Lewis and the idea of that when God comes into our lives, he's not just redecorating. He's not going to just change out the curtains and put new pillows on the couch. He's interested in changing us and redesigning us into the person that he's designed us to be, giving us that purpose, clarity of mind of what we're supposed to do. But some things sometimes get in the way. Sometimes it's our past that get in the way. Sometimes it's the relationship that we're in right now. Sometimes we'll fog our minds and our focus, and then we get sidetracked. So I can imagine what the disciples were feeling right after the resurrection. And of course, Jesus was still here on earth, and Day of Pentecost is going to come in end of May. But I'm just wondering, I thought about a sermon I preached a bit over a year ago, and I tweaked it a bit, but I wanted to show it again. And I recognize this, that just because you're here, that doesn't mean you're all in. You might have like problems at home, you might have a health issue that you know nobody knows about and you're concerned about. There might be relationship issues, there might be money issues. And even though you're here, your mind's not here. That's what things I love about worship is that you're kind of forced to focus, you know. I guess you could zone out a little bit, but you're forced to look at the words, you're reading the words. But during the sermon, it's a little bit tougher. You can start counting the tile on the ceiling. I think some of you know how many tiles we have on the ceiling. So I used to do that as a kid. But I'm praying that God will help us to focus on what he's trying to tell us. What he's trying to tell us. There's some things in our lives that we still need to develop. The area of healing and wholeness and forgiveness. So what season are you in? There's a powerful, powerful, powerful scene, at least to me. It's an old movie. I imagine some of you have not seen it, but I want to lead you to the clip that we're going to watch. It's from the movie Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump is an intellectually impaired person. He's a main character in the movie, and he's walking along with his beloved, is like a lifelong friend. He just loves his friend Jenny. And as they're just walking and reminiscing, she comes across the house that she was raised in. As a child, she was sexually abused. And then I believe Forrest Gump poignantly utters some really, really powerful words. I want to be sensitive that maybe some in this room have been abused, and I pray that God will bring healing. And so this is a clip of someone who is reminded of her hurtful past. I just love that scene. It's just that it was reminded of her past and throwing rocks. But for those who are in Christ, doesn't mean that we won't have hurts or pain. But I believe that the weapons, the rocks that the Lord gives us, can make a difference in our lives. So for those of us who are in Christ and Christ is in us, we don't really have to use rocks, but we can use the things that the Lord has given us. Things I've always wondered about, and I asked this question about 14 months ago, why did King David, who wasn't king at the time, why did young shepherd David pick up 5 stones? Why did he pick up 5 rocks? When all he was going to need is 1. Now, some armchair theologians have opinions, and their opinions was that he picked up 5 stones because Goliath had brothers, and of course, there were other soldiers. But I think the answer is the most obvious answer. So think of it. Why did he collect five stones? I think the answer is obvious. It's the same reason Tiger Woods, when he goes to the Masters, does not put one golf ball in his bag. Because he might need more than one golf ball. Now, when Ross goes golfing, you know, we need dozens and dozens of balls, right? Or me, sorry, I snorted. And John, anybody else need dozens and dozens of balls? Yeah. The way I keep score is I'll take like 24 balls, and if I only lose six, then I shoot a minus six. So that's how I keep score. Why does Tiger Woods take more than one golf ball? Because sometimes wisdom tells you you need to take more than one golf ball. Or why did King David take more than one rock? Maybe because wisdom told him sometimes you need more than one rock to slay the giant. And the story doesn't change, does it, if it took two stones? You know, if he slung and it hit him, but and then he had to take another, does it really change the story? The story is really about a young boy who's full of faith in God, and it's about slaying the giant. And I'm here to tell us, and myself, and you, that sometimes we need rocks in our arsenal. And that's one of the beautiful things that we have in Christ, is that God has given us some things, weaponry, for our arsenal to help knock down these memories or these hurts or these giants in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, the weapons we fight are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Let me read that again. So when you reach in as a believer of Jesus Christ, and again, I don't want to make it sound like it's super simple, but I'm just saying one of the things that the Lord gives us as a rock in our arsenal is that in 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this world. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. And I've been around people that have demonic strongholds, and you can see it in their family. And in order to break those, we're going to need weapons that have divine power that are effective to break down strongholds. And the Lord gives us these weapons that have the power, divine power to demolish strongholds. Are there strongholds in your life that need to be brought down? At the end, I'm going to ask if you need prayer. Don't let pride keep you from asking for prayers. We believe together that the Lord will continue to use you and provide you divine power to demolish strongholds through Christ. So I'm going to give you a list, but it's not the exhaustive list. It's just a few of the stones that we can use in order to bring down strongholds. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is God-breathed and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we have the true word of God at our disposal. Read it. Use it appropriately. Proper hermeneutics is important, that we don't take things out of context. But God has given us his word. The second thing, the scriptures, the one offensive weapon in the full armor of God provided for us, his soldiers, Ephesians chapter 6. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand against your ground. And that evil might come in a form of saying the song that you're no good, that you're worthless, you've done too much, you shouldn't have done that. All those things that the enemy wants you to give up. So when the day of evil comes to you, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. It's one of the things I use consistently, is pray in the Spirit. With this in mind, we can be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me in verse 19, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. For I am an ambassador in chains, and pray that I may declare it fearlessly. Put on the full armor of God. Another thing that we could begin to utilize in our life to knock down giants, to knock down these things that have entangled us and maybe kept us living in the shadow of the past. In John chapter 17 says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. We need as an arsenal in our bag to begin to listen to God's word, his voice, not the world's voice or the voice that might be echoing in our own heads. The world keeps trying to tell you you haven't arrived. You still need to get this, or you still need to do that, and all those things. It's just this inadequacy, this constant spirit of inadequacy. But in God's world, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to listen to the true life-giving words of God. One of the things I always pray for is discernment, which is different than wisdom. And I pray, Lord, give me discernment, how to apply the wisdom that I might think I have. Give me discernment when to say things, when not to say things, when to do things, when not to do things. Sometimes discernment might say you need to go see a counselor. Listen to the true living words of God. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. I know some friends that have gone to see counselors, and it's been fantastic as a Christian counselor has been speaking truth over them and helping them as an arsenal, as a rock in their arsenal to help bring down those giants that are in our lives. I want to encourage you, we cannot make the mistake. Weapons that the Lord provides have divine power designed by God. Now, we have a friend here, Ski designed rockets, I believe. But just think, the weapons that God gives us are designed by God himself. And they're designed to be used by God's people. And sometimes it's not just one rock. Sometimes it's many rocks. You keep throwing until the giants fall. A fifth thing that I think is super important as a weapon, an arsenal, a rock in our bag of arsenal, is that it's a word of obedience. We need to be obedient to God's word and live according to his word and to live out how he's called us to live. I remember reading Jericho walls, would they have fallen if God's people had not obeyed his command? Probably not. I don't care how many times you could scream at a wall, it's not going to fall if it's not commanded by God. So the question I have for us is, what are the giants that God wants us to slay, to knock down? Maybe you've been trying. And I'm encouraging this morning to dig deep into your arsenal bag, to walk in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit and proclaim God's truth and live God's truth and walk in obedience. Are there giants? Some of the things that we've giants in our lives is that we have a lot of fear as a church, generally. We fear those who are lost. And if we're going to be, and I'm going to be preaching on this next week, but if we're going to be a church that believes in raising spiritually dead people from the dead, we cannot be afraid of these spiritually dead people. I had the beautiful opportunity to go on a motorcycle ride to a bike fest here in Tallahassee. And it attracts a group of people that I normally do not run with. And it was awesome. I ordered my lunch, barbecue meal, and I sat in this, and it's called the beer tent, all right? So that's, all of them were the beer tent. I literally thought, like, is there a tent where it's, you know, the O'Doul's tent? Some of you got it. Some of you got it. I was checking on you. Just wonderful people. Lost, but wonderful. And I'm like, you know, if you look at them, it could be scary. These big beards, leather vest, big boots, you know, and just big people. Almost everybody's big when I'm walking around there. And but it's just wonderful to be there. But we cannot be afraid of people who are spiritually dead. If we're going to be the salt of the earth, we cannot be afraid of the people of the earth. And so I'm transitioning here is that maybe there's these giants that need to be knocked down. Maybe one of those giants is fear of being salt to the earth, to those who are lost. And we need to remind ourselves that greater is he that lives in us than he that's in the world. And we need to use that rock or that stone of truth. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Mario, I need prayer. But maybe you're here this morning and saying, Pastor Mario, right now, all is good. And I'm praying that maybe God will use you as a stone or a rock in someone else's arsenal. You don't need a stone, then be a stone for a fellow brother or sister in Christ, or a fellow imager made in the image of God. Let God use you as a weapon for his glory. Greater is he that lives in us than he that's in the world. I believe with all my heart to help people who are spiritually dead has to come from a spiritually alive church, not a spiritually defeated church. You remember the, I did a whole study on purity and disgust. It was really powerful. But did you know the story of the woman who had the issue of blood? You remember what she did? She touched the garment of Jesus, and then he knew that something had happened. Did he ever say, I need to go now wash? No, what happened? The pure Jesus was not infected by the impure woman, but it was the other way around. The woman was injected with Christ. When Jesus touches a leper, it's not leprosy goes into Jesus, but Jesus goes right into the leper. And Jesus healed the leper. The leper was injected with Christ. So if you don't need a stone, then be a stone. You remember about a year and a half ago, we had Teen Challenge come here. And you remember the young man who stood up and said, I was down and out. I was living in the woods. And I put an ad in Craigslist. And the ad says, I'm living in the woods. I need a pillow and a tent. And some family, if I ran into them today, I wouldn't recognize them. But some family saw the ad and became a rock. They showed up into the woods somewhere with a tent and a pillow. And they began to minister to that young man. And that young man ended up going to Teen Challenge and he came to know Christ. Well, I'm not saying that you have to go do that, you know, go help the homeless. Not everybody can do that. I'm not saying go visit a homeless camp. But I am saying if you don't need a rock, then be a rock. The point is God is asking us through his Spirit to help a soul. And do not be afraid of salt, being the salt of the earth. Do you remember when the government was handing out stimulus checks to the families? Yes. There was a family, and I'm not going to tell, nobody knows actually. I'm the only one that knows. But there was a family, it was the first check, I believe, they got one. You know, I don't remember what it was, $1,500, $1,800, $900, I don't remember. It was a lot. You know what they did? They spend it on lotto tickets. No, I'm just kidding. They called me and said, Pastor Mara, there's got to be somebody that you know that needs this. And I thought they were going to give me a percentage of the check. They gave me the whole thing. So if you don't need a rock, then be a rock. Sure enough, we were able to bless a family, single mom. So, two things. You might need a rock. You might need to stand on the word that we just said, those five things, walk in humility and obedience, understanding who we are in Christ, putting on the full armor of God, standing on his word, his truth. And you might be there. You might be in the same situation. And I've been there many times. When I find myself like this, I tend to call my elders and I call them and they pray for me. God is using them to be rock in my life. But if you don't need a rock, then be a rock. So this morning I'm going to ask Joanne and the band to come up. This second song I think is. But don't come up yet. There's a lot of funny memes about bands coming up during the tiptoeing up. Let's pray right now. Let's pray right now. I'm going to ask the Lord to speak to you that we would fall into one of the camps. I need a rock. Or I need to be a rock. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that, thank you, Father. I can't imagine what it'd be like not knowing you. Because life troubles hit everybody. The righteous and the unrighteous. But Lord, thank you that you have empowered us with the weaponry. And Lord, help us to utilize those gifts that you've given us. Lord, there's some people in this room that still, understandably, dealing with the hurts of the past. Lord, I pray, God, for healing and wholeness in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray if that person is in this room, they would continue to hold strong to your word, to your truth. And Lord, as a body of believers, that we would always surround hurting people to love and pray for them and lift them up. So Lord, maybe this season right now, things are okay. So Lord, help us to open our eyes and help us to be a rock for those who are in their season of not being okay. Thank you, God, for the body of Christ. A fellowship of believers. Thank you for the family that sacrificially gave. I imagine today they could probably say, I could have used this right now, the $1,500. But they walked in obedience, and I want to say thank you to them. Bless them. Love you, Father.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you liked what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.